Well, there's a series of days at the start of each term where all the different plays have their auditions, and there is a casting list that is emailed round, and you go to as many as you can fit in into a few days and give it your best.
How many did you go to?
I think a good round dozen in the first year. Yeah.
And were you successful in that first week then getting parts?
I was, yeah. I was cast in the CUADC Freshers play, which was a play called The Permanent Way by David Hare. It was about, excitingly, all the disasters with the railways in the 70s, 80s and 90s. And there was 16 of us, and it was great fun.
So despite the fact that you went on to do a lot of writing and directing, you actually started in the Cambridge drama world acting.
I did, yeah. I think I was sort of influenced by my college mother, who is sort of a mentor figure.
Yeah, we should say not an actual mum, just a sort of a student mentor.
Yeah, absolutely. And she was a sort of a big player in the acting scene and said, oh, go and audition. So I did and got this part. And for the first year and a half, I just acted. That's all I did. And then my directorial debut was with A Doll's House by Ibsen, which we did at the Queen's Theatre.
How would you characterise the university drama scene? Because we get a lot of stories about famous people who've performed at the ADC years ago and gone on to be professional actors. Did you ever think that was something that might happen for you?
Maybe, but I think when I moved from acting to directing, that's where I sort of found perhaps my niche. And I mean, it's incredible as a training ground. I still think it's one of, if not the best, place for students who want to go into that industry. And as you're right, evidenced by the number of Cambridge alumni who have gone on to do that.
So just to name a few, it's people like Ian McKellen, Judy Dench, Stephen Fry. Who else have we got? David Mitchell.
Hugh Laurie. Robert Webb, of course, was he here as well?
I think so, yeah. So you followed actually in all of their footsteps, really, hadn't you? And stood on the same stage, drunk in the same bar as them.
Absolutely, yeah. I remember fondly once where we had where Simon Russell Beale came in to do a pre-show interview, and he and I got quite tipsy in the bar before the interview. And then we were on stage doing this Q&A with my DOS at the time, who was somewhat peeved that I'd got Simon Russell Beale drunk before the Q&A. But it was a nice sort of past meets present.
And then when did the Footlights come calling?
Well, the Footlights, my first Footlight show was in my second year, where Rob Carter, Tom Evans, and I sat down and said, let's pitch an idea for the Spring Review. And it was the 125th anniversary of the Footlights that year, so it was quite a special show. It was the first show of the year, and we came up with an idea where the sketch show was based very loosely around history as a general premise. The show was called Snippets, and we pitched it, and there was three or four pitches when we were chosen to do it, and from there on, really, it was great fun, a great show.
How would you sum up the style of the Footlights, maybe for people who haven't seen the Footlights or don't know much about them?
It's alternative comedy. It is the particular mood or tone of the Footlights is influenced by the comedy that's going on in the industry. So when I was there, Ricky Gervais was a huge influence on lots of the writers. And so there was that sort of hyper-realism, mockumentary, very self-aware, somewhat ironic style of quirky comedy. But it fluctuates. I mean, when the Pythons were at Cambridge, you imagine it was very wacky and out there and quite psychedelic. It's gone through changes like everything else.
And do you ever worry that the Footlights have a very elitist image, that it's comedy for academics, it's not something that anyone would find funny?
Yes, there is that danger. I think talent shines through, if there's a market for it, then it should exist. I think the problem with Cambridge full stop is that there is a sense that in every society or area there is a fear of elitism, and that comes from the nature perhaps of the university. But certainly when I was doing Footlight stuff, it was at least a 50-50 split, from those who went to state schools and those who went elsewhere. And lots of the themes that we explored covered a range of, issues in society and elsewhere. So although it could be perceived that way, I think the reality is that the people doing it, do come from a range of backgrounds.
And some of those people you've been working with over that time have also gone on to have successful careers in comedy or in acting. Can you name anyone who you were working with who's still in the business now?
Well, yeah, I mean, quite a lot of those guys, actually. I mean, I think we were quite lucky to be in a relatively strong year, and the guys, they worked really hard. I went through lots of hardships as well. I mean, so like Liam Williams, a close friend of mine, Darren Johnson, they've both gone off to do really well, but there were times when they were living in London in not particularly nice accommodations, trying to get the breaks and everything else. And Liam's just had a show on BBC Three, and Darren's writing for a whole range of different TV and film projects. Joe Bannister has just, you know, he's playing the lead now. He's filming Howard's End for the BBC. Perhaps the most sort of famous of the gang is James Norton, who I actually went to primary school with, very weirdly. He was a couple of years above me, but he, you know, he was the lead in War and Peace recently. He's currently 7-2 to play James Bond, so he's doing okay. But yeah, a lot of the guys have gone on to do really well.
Where are you on the list to play James Bond?
I think I'm 100-1 outsider.
But you still got a chance.
I still got a chance. Yeah, I think I want a northern James Bond. I think I'm the man.
Now, you've also recently wrapped up a project with a familiar television face who we might recognise from things like Fresh Meat and from Call the Midwife. Tell us about that project.
Yeah, so so Liam and Darren, who I mentioned before, they came up with an idea. So when we were at university, we did the Footlights pantomime together, and we sort of saw it as more of a sort of musical comedy for the modern age, and we enjoyed it, and we've been thinking for a while about how we can transfer that idea to London, sort of a pantomime that isn't really a pantomime. So we celebrate the great motifs and themes, but we subvert them as well, and we sort of use the satirical angle to comment on some of the issues in London. So they wrote the script, which, you know, we did as a company, a version of Dick Whittington called Ricky Whittington and his cat, and Charlotte Ritchie, who you mentioned, she played Ricky, obviously an outstanding talent, and incredibly professional and lovely, and really made the show the success that it was.
It was a great critical success as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had great reviews. In the Guardian, Time Out especially, they really enjoyed it, and, you know, sort of the last 3 or 4 weeks sold out. And it sort of put the company, Fighting the Dog, in a good place to push on. We're taking 7 shows to Edinburgh this year, and looking to expand and change the musical for next Christmas.
And how much of the success do you attribute to what you managed to learn and take on board during those undergrad years here in Cambridge?
Perhaps all of it. I mean, the two of our producers, Isabel and Breed, they didn't go to Cambridge, but they work in the industry. But John O'Lee and myself, if we hadn't had the opportunities that we did have at Cambridge, I don't think we would have been anywhere near where we are now. And although there are excellent, you know, excellent institutions where you can learn a lot about theatre and how it works, the ADC have a student-led, student-organised, student-managed theatre, and that is a great training ground. And why so many names, if we just compare, you know, Cambridge to Oxford, do go on to the industry, because whereas Oxford do not have a theatre, Cambridge do. So it's a massive factor.
And lastly, what's next?
Well, as I say, we're taking these 7 shows. We're doing a bit of production work up to the Fringe, you know, which is a great place to go, another great training ground. Certainly the next logical step from university. And then we're working on two musicals. Yeah, and then we're looking at, so we have one new musical in the process stage at the moment. So we're writing and playing with some ideas, and we will revive Ricky in a slightly different, more contemporary form this winter.
So look out for the name Matthew Bulmer as actor, maybe writer, director of plenty of things still to come. Matt, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.